This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to The Ruck. This is the midweek edition from our Cape Town studios. I'm Owen Slott, and I'm here with my touring buddy, Stephen Jones. You're right, buddy. Is that all right? Is that a bit too familiar?
No, it's average. It's a little bit iffy, but no, go on.
This is Thursday morning. We've had the Springbok team was announced on Monday. Was it announced on Monday? Springbok team was announced Springbok team was announced on Tuesday, and then we also found out the Lions team on Tuesday afternoon as well, even though the Lions team was supposed to be announced on Thursday, James, wasn't it?
It was, and it was an absolute world exclusive, seriously. It was landed by a member of the Times camp, could we say?
I think we can say it's a member of the Times camp, yeah.
Because we were about to do it, then...
It wasn't the fake shake, was it?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't the fake shake. It was a fake prop.
It wasn't Woodward or Bernstein.
No, it wasn't.
And it was up there.
It was somewhere. It was Woodward and Bernstein-esque, yeah. The only thing that wasn't there was Ben Bradley, played by Jason Robards, saying, "We stick by the boys." I love that phrase.
Well, we're sticking by Arthur on this one, aren't we?
Yeah, well, hang on.
We can't name him.
How does everyone know who Arthur is?
Because they listen to this.
Okay.
Yeah, well, anyway, Alex Lowe broke the story of the team on Thursday afternoon. another great exclusive for the Times. Was it you who tipped Alex off?
Yes, I did. I only gave him 14 of the names. He found the rest of the other one himself.
Yeah.
But actually, it did. I don't know whether people would realise, it did cause a sensation when suddenly the wires or the tech wires services from London and all the social media started saying this is the Lions team.
Well, it's the in terms of an exclusive for a team announcement, it's the biggest one you can get in rugby, isn't it?
Yes,
because
it is.
Because we've been sitting around debating who's going to be in the Lions team for pretty much since the last Test match in New Zealand 4 years ago.
Yes. Did you feel we loved our friend with the scoop? Did you feel slightly embarrassed, though, that he's in southwest London, we're in Cape Town, near where the Lions are?
What, did I feel embarrassed that we're the boys on the ground, close to the team, with our finger on the pulse of the Lions team and this amazing test series?
And that this podcast is the only one that's actually up front with the Lions?
Yeah, well, that's that too. So all these things, we're here, and that... bloke who's not, he scooped us as well.
He's in his home in southwest London,
Oxted.
Oh, sorry,
he's not going to be happy with us for naming that.
He's not. Well, he'd be mobbed now,
he will, if not already.
But the thing is, we were about to do it, but he got in first.
Yeah, we had the team, didn't we? But he scooped us by a couple of minutes.
We almost had the team, yeah. Okay, all right,
Jonesy. So, Cape Town, we're still under, COVID lockdown, quite severe restrictions.
Yeah.
The sale of alcohol is banned in restaurants and bars. You can't buy alcohol in your hotel or in the shops. We had some good news on that front, didn't we?
We did, because someone who listened to the podcast, very, very distinguished coach, if not the leading coach in
South Africa or world rugby,
was kind enough to send us some unmarked packages into the hotel. They were delivered to my... Well, Sammy, you brought them down in the back of a taxi. They're now in my room, or at least they were in my room, slightly denuded now, because my room has become the new mecca for the touring media group. And in it was some just, what would you call it? Not contraband.
Well, it is contraband.
But I mean, it's just, contraband. Some red and some white.
So this coach heard our plight on the ruck.
Yes.
And I saw him on Tuesday, and he shoved into the back of the cab when I came home.
Yeah.
24 bottles.
Yes, he did. And it's...
How much is left?
There's over a dozen left.
Right, okay.
But it's actually from the winery of Peter Steph Dutoit's father, is it?
Yeah, the Dutoit family's vineyard,
Yeah, it's bloody terrific stuff, and it's very nice. Sadly, we haven't been able to drink it because there's an alcohol ban. But we'll give it a try anyway. So we'd just like to thank all the coaches and anyone else who's thinking of following that example.
Yeah, anyone who thinks that was a good idea, it is a good idea.
Yeah, put your hand.
Don't hold back now.
But anyway, the other thing is the president, Cyril, we know him on first name terms, Mr. Ramaphosa, is making an announcement on Sunday, which everyone thinks might relax some of the restrictions. And look, let's be serious as well. South Africa is under restriction. It is in turmoil in terms of the taxi wars and things like that. So we're not making light of those things, because there have been deaths in nearby townships from the taxi wars. And
there was over 100 deaths from the in the looting last week.
Yes, there was.
The looting and the rioting. They've thank goodness, got that under control.
Yeah, they have. It just makes you realise what a brilliant country this is, Owen, and how turbulent it is and how difficult it is, but how actually man for man, woman for woman, how absolutely warm and lovely the people are. So we shouldn't forget that. Also,
can I say something about that?
Yeah, you can.
And I'm going to write something serious about this sometime before the end of the tour.
Yeah.
I think if we haven't made it clear already, we both really love this country, and we've both been here a number of times now, you more than me, Steve. But so my first time here was 95, and then I covered the whole of the 97 tour, which you were on, of course, Jonesy. That was about your 10th tour already by then. But when I look back on 97, and I look back on the joy of that tour, but it wasn't just the joy of the tour, it was the joy of all these travellers from the UK and Ireland embracing this new country, because it was a new country. And I felt that South Africa was a place, a joyful place, but a nation of real hope at the time. And I think the sad thing is, coming back here 24 years later, I can't remotely say that at all. I think it's a country on the brink of something awful almost every day. And the point was rammed home to me when we arrived in Cape Town Airport last week. When you get out at Cape Town Airport, you get on the main road, and immediately you have the Khayelitsha Township on your left. Mm. And that Khayelitsha Township was there in 95 and 97 when I came here. So we're now, 25 years plus since the end of apartheid. And that Khayelitsha Township is bigger than it was 24 years ago. I mean, that's not progress, that's regression.
Well, and also the kind of townships and the cities still seem to be as remote from each other as they always were. You know, we because of the taxi wars, all the staff in our hotel have to sort of go really, really early so they can get home. So all our services shut down at 4 o'clock and things like that, you know. So it's just difficult. And I'm just reading a book at the moment about the police, and called When Will We Ever Be Safe Here? And just saying that the police are never really getting to grips with it. But look, these are problems that possibly we don't understand, but they are problems we would love to be solved, because this is just a beautiful place and a mecca for, it should be a mecca for travelers. And just to repeat one more time, we do every week. I still see in my dreams a sort of crocodile of red wherever we go, Cape Town, Joburg, Durban, wherever we go.
What, the Lions fans that aren't here?
The Lions fans that aren't here. And there'll be just row after row after row of red ghosts at Cape Town on Saturday. And I absolutely hate that. I really hate that.
Mm. One of the, on the rugby side of that, one of the real heroes of this country at the moment, Steve Siakalisi, he came out of COVID isolation on Monday, arrived in Cape Town on Monday. On Tuesday, he was named in the Springbok team. What did you make of that?
I don't know.
In decent haste?
It was quick. And I just think that with Alan Wynn and Siakalisi, it's almost like the same thing. You know, they're so iconic and so important to their team and so important to the outer representation of the team. I think that they just stuck them back in. And I think there is a case to be made, or at least there's an alarm bell that is Alan Wynne-Jones really ready for a test match? And is Siakalisi really ready for a test match? So we'll see. I think it's unlikely, very unlikely, that either will be on at the end of the game.
Yeah, but you made this point, I think, on here before, Steve, and other people in South African rugby have said it to me too, that when Kalisi had the COVID and it looked like he was set to miss the first test, there were people saying, actually, that's not bad for the Springboks, because he hasn't played well for the Sharks. Mm. He's an iconic leader, but he's by no means one of their top players.
I think South Africa have had better flankers. They certainly haven't had better ambassadors and statesmen and leaders, but I think South Africa had better flankers than Siakalisi. That doesn't mean I think he should be out of the team, but I think they're probably, in terms of the balance of the back row, their back row is not quite as well balanced as say, the Lions' back row. So, you know, you're treading on dreams, you're treading on aspiration and all sorts when you say that Sia shouldn't be in the team. But I think probably it's marginal as to whether he is better than some people on the bench. I really do.
We're going to have a bit of more of a discussion on the Lions team later. But one of the things that struck me as unusual about this tour and how Warren Gatland's managed it, and obviously COVID has messed it up a fair bit, is on previous Lions tours, you see the test team slowly evolving, and generally it gets as close to a dry run as Saturday beforehand. So on this tour, Gatland's picked a 9 or 10 who haven't played together once. He's picked a front row that haven't played together at all. He's picked a back row that hasn't played together at all, and a back three that has never played together at all once on this tour. So, I mean,
you're asking brilliant questions today, honestly. Well, you're on fire.
Well,
honestly, you're
it's that bloody Alex Lowe. He's,
I know, I know.
He's so raised the level.
He's kicked us up the arse. Yeah, you're right. Do you know what? I think actually, you say that the test team's been evolving, or usually evolving. It's actually been dissolving on this tour, I think, because you're right.
That is right. It has dissolved.
It is dissolved.
Because it started off with Faletau, Jamie George, Connor Murray, all in it. Probably Mako as well.
Yeah, no, it's dissolved. And look, the thing is, there's no way you could have concrete evidence from the games they've had, apart from the South Africa A game. They've always been slightly bizarre, slightly unreal, good stuff and bad stuff. And there's no way you could rely on the evidence of it in terms of test selection. So that's one of the reasons why Warren's surprised us. For the future, I would love to think that they have much better pre-test program than they've had out here. But it's amazing, Owen, because I think that we still do not know about this Lions team. We still do not know about the box team. We know the box team are good, but whether they'll be good in time for Saturday, I don't know. But we do not know whether this Lions team, this party, is vintage or average.
Do you think... So just on the average opposition and that, So the Lions, a Lions tour has a great narrative to it. Mm. But if you're just looking at how to prepare a newly assembled squad for a three-test series, the Lions would have been far better served to if they just arrived here for the tests, stayed in Europe and played a warm-up test against the England team that was remaining, maybe a France A team or a Barbarians team. You know, they could have found far better opposition to learn about themselves and to build a test team if they'd stayed in Europe.
They could have, but again, you know, you've got to make sure that we've taken so much of the glory and the thunder away from Lions tours. You've got to make sure you don't take any more away.
Yeah.
And while it would be nice to come out here, first of all, you've got to experience South African conditions. You might be at altitude. Twickenham's not at altitude. Neither is anywhere else out there. You've got to have the alien conditions, the opposition of fans. You've got to have the fact that the referee will probably be dodgy as hell, etc. So that is not preparation being at home. What you should do is come out. The host team and would normally be getting hundreds of millions of rand or dollars or New Zealand dollars from this tour. They should say for the first five games, they must play their Springbok or their national players. When it comes to the test match, not so good. They've got to bump up the pre-test program out here.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could have a proper test. Don't have it back in the UK, guys. Have it out here on tour so people can remember what a rugby tour is, and it's worth remembering.
Jonesy, what else? What about Cape Town? The weather's been a bit crap for the last few days, but yeah. It's going to brighten up for test weekend.
Yes, it is, and I just think you never get tired of the mother city.
Should we talk about that restaurant we went to last night?
Oh, it's just for the, well, it's called the Athletic, was it?
The Athletic Club and Social, and the ACS.
Exactly. Just, I mean, we're not being paid by to say this or anything. That other nightclubs are available, but it was a lovely. It's a kind of private club downstairs. Then it's a upstairs. It's a kind of tribute to South African musicians. The owner Athos is not only a musketeer, but he's a great friend of the late Hugh Masekela, the great jazz trumpeter, and who played all the great township bands down here. And it was just an absolutely magnificent place. It was just a great place. And, you know, he's obviously struggling for lack of, in the time of COVID, the time of lockdown and prohibition, but just a magnificent place.
It was also like an altar of worship to the black and mixed race teams from the apartheid era. On the walls were all these beautiful black and white pictures of township rugby teams. You
Absolutely.
Know, the Guguletu first 15 from 1981 or something. I mean, there was just a history of a sporting life of which I think very little's known.
Well, in the apartheid years, the people, the white rulers would say, well, of course, black, but the football's the game for the blacks and the non-whites, whereas rugby is the game for the whites. But, you know, we saw all these pictures of they showed us the Africa Cup, which was the cup awarded for donkey's years, like decades and decades, to the top African team of African origin rugby team. And as you say, there were three or four floors of posters and pictures of team after team after team, coloured teams, black teams, you know, mixed race teams, as you say.
What was the name of the, there was that classic picture of the black golfer who won a national golf trophy at the Durban Country Club.
Yeah, Papua Segalum.
Yes.
And
there was a picture of him sitting in his car being presented with a trophy because he wasn't allowed to receive it in the clubhouse because of his colour.
Yes, I think the only people allowed in were kind of waiters and waitresses. And there was a legend that they presented it to him through the window, but obviously we see him in the car. He had an amazing swing because his hands were reversed on the club.
Mm.
And yet he beat Gary Player and all that sort of stuff. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, but
if we ever get on the golf course here, by the way, we're working too hard. I haven't had enough time for that yet, but
no.
I might try a bit of that.
What, reverse grip?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I mean, I can't get any worse, so let's give it a go.
My grip can be any worse now. I know. You're supposed to have your hands like facing down in a V like that. Mine is sort of all around like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, there we go. Anyway, that was this marvelous place, and just and remember that South African rugby goes back way, way, way back, and not just for whites, it really doesn't.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Off Air, the podcast. With Jane Garvey and Fee Glover.
I go to the sink and I have some cheese.
You eat cheese in the sink?
Doesn't everybody?
Every Monday to Thursday, Jane and Fee keep the microphones on after their Times radio show.
I think if we were to do a Mr. and Mrs.
Oh, no.
How would that go in the booth?
Badly. It would go very badly.
Unencumbered and off air.
Two tiny women with gobs.
Off Air, the podcast. Now available on the Times radio app.
Our special guest.
Well, do I have to be in on this? So he's supposed to be gloating like mad, won't he?
Well, it's going to be tricky for everyone, but I suppose we're going to have to.
Let's have a deep breath. All right, go on, bring him on.
We're going to have to do it. Okay, so we've got a pretty special guest for this program. So special, we didn't even introduce him at the start of the program. Episode.
Yeah.
So here we go. So, Jonesy, we're now going to talk to our special guest for the for this episode of The Ruck.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Do you think he'd be unbearable?
Unbearable? Well, I just think we're it's a big scoop up from you and me to get him on the show, isn't it?
Well, apparently he's got to buzz off in 15 minutes. He's obviously doing a huge range of media interviews. And then he's being taken home in a sedan chair by four sweated slaves.
So we're so excited to say to our listeners that we have got the one and only Alex Lowe on the podcast. Hello, mate.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Arthur, have you got the tomorrow's racing results, by the way?
I do. Yeah, I do, but I'm sending them off to the highest bidder, so I do have to go in a minute because I've got, as you say, Steve, I've got a lot of people on now.
Who do you fancy for the what lottery numbers do you fancy for the next couple of weeks? You can just bang them over as an exclusive. It would be handy.
Yeah. Gosh. Well, it's been a crazy couple of days.
Let's say you were really popular with all our colleagues on the daily newspapers when you scooped the whole world with the Lions' first test team. You seem to have a new nickname because you were known as Effin Alex Lowe amongst the media party. What a great scoop, and basically all the team right. So outstanding work.
Well, thank you. I mean, I did. I'm obviously back here in the UK, and I just had this image of, because I've been on the other end of it. I knew what was probably going on in the bedrooms of the guys at the other papers, because that can
easy. Easy. Everyone's behaving quite well in their bedrooms.
Okay. I don't know where else everyone's working out there, but you know what I mean. I've been on the end of it. I was pleased that it all sort of came together this time.
See what the guy from the Sun's been doing in his bedroom. Jeez.
Yeah, it was a nice story to do. Okay. Although not everyone seems happy with it, judging by social media. I've been accused of ruining the surprise and giving the Springboks extra preparation time. None of the thing. I don't buy into any of that. But well,
joking apart,
not everyone was happy with it.
Ridiculous. That's preposterous.
Well, I know. But no, it was really, it was good to get. You know, we try and find out these things all the time, and sometimes you get a sense of what's happening. Sometimes you might get one selection or two, and like I said, on this occasion, a few things came together, and I was pretty sure we had the team, and I think it's a really, I guess it's partly caused such a stir because it's such an interesting team and so many news lines in it, and you know, you could have done a new story on the Lions picking Luke Cowan-Dickey to start a hooker. You could have done a perfectly strong one on Elliot Daly to start at outside centre. Ali Price at scrum half, Stuart Hogg at fullback. Like, there's so many interesting selections in it that, you know, as a package, it made for a pretty strong story. So I was, yeah, pleased we could be the ones to share it.
You think you'd be under massive pressure now because you've got to repeat that for the second and third test matches?
Do you know what? When I hit send on my first piece on it, like the quick copy that we put up on the website about 5 o'clock, I did think to myself, I've completely stuffed it for next week now. I'm going to get the desk asking for it from Monday. And obviously everyone is now going to be a lot less likely to allow that news to spread. But then I heard that Warren Gatland said yesterday that he was going to tell the players and then tell everyone else at pretty much the same time. I was surprised. I think he said to everyone he's going to tell the players. The players were told Tuesday lunchtime, and they had this big training session Tuesday afternoon. Originally, he wasn't going to tell anyone else till Thursday, which is quite a long time for that news to stay in camp, even if they are in a bubble. And so next week, I might be off the hook if he tells the players and tells us at the same time.
You're not off the hook next week. You just have to find out before he tells the players.
Gosh, so after, okay, I'll spend my week.
You'll have to have your webcam in the meeting room when they do.
Yeah, this. I'll have to send one of those drones disguised as a wasp or something to go and sit on them.
The thing is, the world needs to know you're not just a one-hit wonder. You see?
Yeah.
Can you back it up after your test performance?
Well, you're only as good as your last story, aren't you, Jonesy? So I suppose new test week. I've got to after you know we go again. Isn't that what they say?
Yeah, exactly.
But in the true Times tradition, I can see from the accommodation where you're dialing in from, they've already bought you a new house and congratulate you for your magnificent work.
Yeah, because that is how it works. Yeah, immediate promotion, pay rise. Yeah, all that.
Is he gloated enough now? Doing
is Arthur gloating?
Yeah. Oh, I have to say, I feel this all makes me very uncomfortable, as you know. So I know that's why you've got me on to do it.
Yeah. Should we try and get us big up ourselves a bit now? Because he's going on and on.
Trying to think what breaking news we've managed ourselves over here.
Well,
there's a really big Waterboy story that we didn't break, by the way. Everyone's really excited about that.
Is that Erasmus?
I tell you what, I do want to ask you about the team news that you broke. So you broke the team news on Tuesday. Was it Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday. Yeah. You broke team news. On Wednesday, Gatland then published the team himself, and you had 22 of the 23 right. The only one you got wrong was you had Ian Henderson on the bench, and Gatland went with Liam Williams.
Mm.
I mean, what we don't know, but do you think that maybe that was a late change of heart? Do you think it was remotely to respond to the story so that you didn't get it right? I mean, surely he wouldn't be that small-minded.
No, I don't think he's changing the team so I only get 22 of the players. The Lions insist otherwise. I have a suspicion that maybe there was a change of lane. That they, you know, obviously, the Lions named their team after the Springboks named their team. And I think we all thought there would be six forwards on the Springbok bench like they had through the World Cup. They went with five, and the Lions will now mirror that split. I did get a message from their communications team. The first message I'd had since this story, and they just said that is absolutely not the case, that he didn't change his mind. But I don't know, one or two little tidbits which suggest that maybe he had. But then also, they had that, as they discussed yesterday, that enormously physical training session on the Tuesday afternoon. So that may have had an impact as well. I don't know. We, you know, I mean, even you guys in South Africa are a bit further away from the the squad than we would normally be.
Hey, hang on a sec. We're right on top of everything. Yeah. You just quit with that sort of talk.
I only meant your access to them is less than usual.
Morning, Warren. Sorry, Jack. Just going by.
So I don't know. It would seem odd to me that we had everybody else was right and that one was wrong. And there was quite a lot of time between when we published and when it was announced. So I have suspicions that maybe there was a slight change in tack. But that
Macko looks really pissed off this morning, isn't he?
Macko, shape up!
But smile, Macko, come on. All for one and one for all, isn't it?
Two more test matches left, son.
So I don't know. I think it's an interesting team, though, isn't it? What do you guys think? You're worried, aren't you, Jonesy?
Yeah, well, I am. I think when you follow a coach on a team for so long, you do get to know him a little bit through his selections, which is why it surprised me, Alex. And I am worried about this team because I don't think they've gone flat out to take on the box. They're trying to do it a different way, which in rugby, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I'm not saying that it's a shocking team, but there are five or six people in there who really, really surprised me. Look, if you want me to whiz through them, I would have Liam Williams fullback as the great. I think Stuart Hogg's a great lad, a great player. So lovely he's in the team. But he's going to be under an absolute barrage of high kicks from Faf de Klerk, which I don't think would have been quite the case if Liam Williams had been there. So that's one. Luke Cohen-Dickey's a great player, but I would have had him on the bench. I would always have played Tolopi Faletau because he's a test match animal. Things like that. Chris Harris, I think, is very, very unlucky. But Warren has got a philosophy in his head, and he's filled in the team to back up that philosophy. So in that sense, well, good luck to him.
I think the pick of Elliot Daly is the one that interests me the most, because on the day they named the squad, they listed the players in position, and he was listed as an outside centre, which jumped off the page to me. So I remember asking Neil Jenkins about it and Warren about it, and they both said, no, that's where we see him. He's won 53 test caps, I think. Only one of them wearing the number 13. But it seems, as you say, Steve, it fits his game plan, which he's obviously had from the outset. And I wonder whether there's an element of trying to react to that World Cup semi-final defeat, where it was for Wales against South Africa, where it was an arm wrestle for 80 minutes, and they lost by a penalty kick at 19-13. And I wonder if he feels that if they'd just done a bit more, they had enough parity to have to be in the game physically, but if they'd done more with the ball to stress the Springboks, maybe they could have sneaked it. And I wonder if this is an evolution of that semi-final game plan to make sure they have enough physicality to have a foothold, but then run them around. You know, the Springboks have hardly played. A lot of them have been in quarantine for 10 days, and he's picked a team full of counter-attacking, creative, fast players, some dynamic forwards. I just wonder if he's trying to sort of not, I guess, match them up front and then move them around.
He's bang on today, Alex, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's really on, all right, really on fire.
I have to admit it, yeah.
Yeah, well done, yeah. Well done. The daily thing is, his selection is the one that tells the story, really, in terms of pace rather than physicality. It was Daly or Chris Harris to play 13, and that's sort of where Warren's really hung his hat on it. I don't get the Liam Williams thing, Hogg instead of Williams. I don't understand that, but that's not a philosophy thing. That's just different players. But Daly and Chris Harris is really just down to the philosophy of the team that he's selected.
Yeah, yeah. And Price ahead of Colin Murray, similar.
Well, I mean, Alex, your theory about the World Cup semi-final with Wales, there was a time in that where South Africa was sort of looking for a second wind and Wales were really attacking. I remember them attacking up the middle. They think, well, hang on, the balance of this is definitely changing. And I think probably Wales did think, look, if only we'd gone for it at some stage, we might have done. But, you know, the scrum half, I have to say, I was really backing Conor Murray as the captain in the absence of Alan Wynne-Jones. And But I did.
You agree with Price ahead of Murray, don't you?
Oh, totally. But it all came down to one game. The one we saw the other day, the last time Conor played a full game, where his service was funereally slow. He kept on picking up the ball, not whipping it out, but standing, getting back up to his feet, wandering towards the people he was trying to pass to. He was looked absolutely dreadful. And I think he's lost at this place because of one game in which he was terrible. And Ali Price gets the ball out absolutely hours earlier.
Did you pick up the thing about Alan Wynne, that he nearly didn't start, Alex? And so when, in the team selection meeting, they initially had Alan Wynne on the bench, but then they went to scrum half. And when they agreed that Ali Price had to start instead of Conor Murray, then they went back to the second row and go, well, if we haven't got Murray, then who's our leader? And then they put Alan Wynne back into the starting 15. I think that's fascinating, because if Alan Wynne hadn't started, then who would have started instead? Would Henderson have gone in? And then, the permutations are suddenly very different. But
that's a great story. It's much better than Arthur's. It's a great line.
Yeah.
I missed that one, lads.
That'll win. I didn't get any applause for that story at all.
The knock-on effect, that is fascinating, because if they'd stuck to their guns and picked, who would have started in the second row? Maybe Henderson, maybe Courtney with Tyke Byrne at six. And then who would have been captain after that?
I think Henderson is one of the unlucky men, Alex, on this
team. Yeah, for sure.
He played really well. They made him captain for an early game. I think he's rather unlucky. He's not really a spring-heeled lineup man, but he can play in the lineup. And I just think that I think he's rather unfortunate. And
Sorry, go on. No, I just go back to what you were saying, Alex. If they had Alan Wynne and Conor Murray on the bench, who is the captain? The captain's Stuart Hogg's probably the only person with any captain's experience at all, isn't he?
It would have to have been. It wouldn't have to have been, but on the basis of everyone who's captained teams on this tour, Jamie George isn't involved, Ian Henderson isn't involved.
Ken Owens is
on the bench. So it would be Hogg or pick a new captain in the forwards.
I don't think you can captain against the Springboks from fullback.
No, I don't think so either. So then it would be Marrow, wouldn't it? Or Henderson. Well, I suppose if Henderson had started, then it would have been Henderson.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, let's go back to lauding. Well, he's going to change your life. Will you always be the same same man or what?
I'll definitely be the same man. And this conversation has confirmed that, because I'm finding all the praise excruciatingly uncomfortable. So yeah.
Not as uncomfortable as we are.
What about at home, Alex? Have the kids treated you any differently? Do they bring you breakfast in bed every day and kneel before you when you come down the stairs in the morning?
No, I've been making them do that anyway since they were 4 years old.
So have you had any sort of interest from the opposite sex at all?
Well, that's a constant. There's a constant stream of that, Jonesy. So that hasn't changed at all.
Okay. Yeah, Tinder.
Well, I don't know.
Have you put it on your Tinder profile that you broke a good story on Tuesday?
On my Tinder, yeah. No, I haven't actually. I need to update that.
Well, that'll really get them.
That'll make you irresistible.
Yeah. Well, sort of. Yeah.
Right, lads. I can't take any more of this. I have to sling back to my normal status and go and ghost Joe Marler's column. So,
right,
that's my next job.
Anyway. I hope Joe Marler realizes how lucky he is to have you ghosting his column. I mean, you're above that sort of crap now, aren't you?
He has no idea. So, I will go and talk to him about what it's like to be in the Lions test squad. In the week of the first test.
So let's just get this right. You are ghosting his column, or is it he's ghosting your column?
God, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? We could do Yeah, maybe we should, maybe that's the new innovation in newspapers, that we'll get the celebrity to ghost the journalist. See how it turns out.
Yeah, that could only end in tears, I think.
Nice to see you guys.
Yeah. Take care, mate. Look after yourself.
Are you going to, just before we go, do you know what the score is on Saturday yet?
I do, but I can't tell you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
That's an exclusive. That's an exclusive for Saturday morning's paper.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on The Times Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.